certificate class at Southeastern have charge of our service this morning and will lead us to worship our Lord. Mr. Eugene Powers, who is pastor of the Church of God in Wake Forest, will lead us in our scripture reading at this time.
We'll read the responsive reading number 12. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from the presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Mr. E.P. Warren, a member of the certificate class, will lead us in prayer.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, who hast given us at this time with one accord to make our common petitions and supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be there. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt grant our requests according to thy holy will, according to our needs. Fulfill, we pray, the desires and petitions of thy servants who have cast their all upon thee, as it may be most expedient for them according to thy loving kindness, granting us in this world the knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. We realize and acknowledge that we are less than we ought to be, less than we might be. And in this awareness of our deficiencies, we humbly beseech thee, our Father, for mercy and forgiveness, and in the same breath to give thee most earnest thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee, O Lord, for our creation, for our preservation, our forgiveness, and our enlightenment, incomplete though it be. But above all else, our Father, we are inexpressibly grateful to thee for thine inestimable love, as manifested to us in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our means of grace and salvation. O Lord, how we lift our hearts this morning to thee in awareness that thou hast called us unto thyself, not only to service in general, but to service in particular, to proclaim the good news in a world that is going its own way rather than thine. Wilt thou not only give us an awareness of thy claim upon our lives and our call to special ministries, but also an awareness of all thy mercies that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we may show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but with our lives, by giving up ourselves fully to thy service, and by walking before thee and all men in holiness and righteousness and Christian understanding, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our message of the morning will be brought to us by Mr. W.J. Taylor, a member of our certificate class and pastor of the Flat Rock Baptist Church of Franklin County.
I would like to express this morning, I already expressed my appreciation to Dr. Blakely personally last year for the opportunity to study here as a certificate student. I think it's by the grace of the seminary that we who have not been able to finish our college work, we're growing old and seems like we never will be able to finish it, are able to come here and study. And I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I know the other members of the certificate class, many of them feel the same way that I do. I want to read some scripture this morning found in the book of Job in the 23rd chapter. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." Then in John's Gospel, I'd like to read just two verses of scripture found in the 12th chapter, verse 20 and 21. "And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine, Wilson Payne, some of you may know, who was pastor of the Hayne Baptist Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina, was preaching a revival meeting in our church, and he told this experience out of his life. Before World War II, Wilson had not yet surrendered to the ministry, and he was teaching a Sunday school class in the church where he was a member. He had a young boy who was not a Christian, the only member of his class who had not made a profession of faith in Christ. He had done his best to win him to Christ, but somehow or another he was unable to lead him to Christ. The war came and Wilson was taken into the army and went away to serve his country. And also the young man grew up and went away to war. And after the war was over and both of them returned back home, Wilson now surrendered to the ministry, went to witness to this young man. And when he began to talk to him about his personal relationship to God, he began to curse and swear, saying, "I don't want to hear anything about your God." Months went by. He visited him again. And when he saw him coming, he ran off of out of his house and out through the wood, saying, "I don't want to hear anything about your God." On another visit, when he had arrived at the home, this young man had just taken poison, and they carried him to the hospital and pumped out his stomach. And for the sake of his own welfare, they carried him to the asylum in Columbia, South Carolina. And one day the boy's mother came and asked Wilson if he'd carry him if she would, he would carry her down to see the boy. And when they arrived, the guard there at the institution said, "You know what happened to this young man last night?" Said he got out of this, out of some way escaped. We couldn't find him anywhere, and we began to look for him. And we finally found him. He was up on top of the building. And he was down looking into the ventilators of this building, and he was crying out, "God, God, has anybody seen God? I've lost God." Is it possible for a man to lose God? Is it possible for a man to come to the place that he seems that heaven is brass and that God no longer lives? It was just a few months ago that my wife and I was arriving at home late one night, and a car drove up behind us in the driveway. A lady was in the car, and it wasn't long before we discovered that she was drinking very heavy. She would not come into the house, but I began to talk with her as I stood beside the car and listened to her pour out her heart and heard almost the same cry, "Preacher, I can't find God. Can you tell me how I can find God?" I'm afraid that this cry is a cry of multitudes today. But I remind you this morning that it's not always the mentally deranged or the one soaked with alcohol that is crying out today, "I've lost God. Has anyone seen God? Preacher, is God dead? Tell me, how can I find God?" I think that in this text which I've read this morning, we see that this is an ancient cry. Job, back there in the dark ages, when his health was gone and his wealth was gone, when his wife had said, "Curse God and die," he looked to his right and he looked to his left and he couldn't find God, it seemed. And he cried out, "Oh, that I might find God, that I might come even to his seat." And see, we know that this is an ancient cry. The Greeks of old, when they came and said we would see Jesus, was only the cry of the human heart that has been down through the centuries. The human heart crying out, "We would see Jesus," or "Can we find God? Preacher, can you tell me how I can find God?" I think that this is the cry of this generation. It is the heart cry of every generation. Not only was this an ancient cry, but this is a cry of the multitudes today. "Sir, we would see Jesus. And like Job of old, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Some of these that are crying out may be students here in this seminary. As they sit in the class from day to day, that problem child, that crackpot, so to speak, that's always getting in the professor's hair, it may be that underlying there may be a deep-rooted hunger, and his heart cry may be, "We would see Jesus, or can you tell me how I might find God?" Is it not true that Joseph Stalin was in the seminary studying for the ministry and was kicked out his senior year because he did not agree with the views of the seminary? I can't help wonder if his teachers had been as interested in his soul and had the compassion for him as they were of their orthodoxy. What a difference it might have made in the world. Could that be passing through our halls here, another Joseph Stalin, or the contrast, a Bill Moyer? We never know, do we? I don't know of a greater opportunity, a greater calling than you who have the opportunity to teach in our seminaries, to be able to help mold and to shape the lives of so many young men and women. I covet your opportunity. Great will be your reward if you succeed, and great will be your judgment if you fail. The second place that we find some of these people that are crying out may be right in our churches. They may be these who are regular church goers. They may mark their attendance, their six-point record system, and they may be wearing perfect attendance pins for many years. But their heart cry may be, "Preacher, can you tell me how I might find God?" I believe in organization and I believe in programs in our church. But my friends, this morning, it's a poor substitute for Jesus Christ. It's possible maybe sometimes for people to come to our churches month in and month out, sit under our preaching Sunday in and Sunday after Sunday with the same heart cry, never filled, we would see Jesus. Dr. Owen White, who is the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, tells of a young man who was dying, who went to a church hungry to know how to be saved. And the preacher got up and told about his visit to the Holy Land. And he said it was interesting, but there was nothing in it to tell him how to be saved. He went that night to another church, and the preacher got up and talked about some social issue which was before the people and how they should use their influence and how they should vote. He went the next Sunday morning to a church, and the preacher gave a book report. And he said all of this was good and they did a good job, but there was nothing in these messages that told a man how to be saved. And then he sat down on the street curb, brokenhearted, and a fellow came by and said, "What's your trouble, bud?" He said, "I'm about to die and I don't know how to be saved." And he said, "Go up there to that little Methodist church. I know that preacher, and he'll tell you how to be saved." And that night he struggled into that church, and when he sat down in the back of the church, he heard this preacher who had planned just to get up and read a few verses of Scripture and dismiss the service that night because he had so few during that time of the year, but his wife had encouraged him to preach to the faithful. And so the man stood and he read, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And he said, "I knew that he had what I needed." And he went forward and sat where he could hear. And after the service, he dismissed himself before the benediction was finished. And the next day, he called the pastor and had him come to his home where he lay dying that day. And said, "Pastor, it's not for me to tell you what to do. But when you stand up and preach, always include in that message a message for those who want to know how to be saved." And the third group that I would mention this morning can be found outside of our churches. There are multitudes of people who are crying out, "Preacher, can you tell me how to find God?" There are multitudes of people who are crying out, "We would see Jesus." And where are they going to see him? They don't come to our churches. They don't read the Bible. They don't come to our seminary and our Sunday schools. Where are you going to find Jesus? I'll tell you where they'll find him, if they find him at all. They'll find him in my life and in your life as we manifest the love of God in our hearts. And there becomes a deep-rooted hunger in their hearts to know God as they see him manifested in our lives. I think this is what Dr. Weber was talking about yesterday, if I got his message at all, is that we demonstrate this love of Christ that constrains us. I think it's high time that we get our Christianity outside of our church walls and our Christian homes and down on the street and down in the shops, out there where the people are, where they're reaching out, crying, "We would see Jesus." 3 years ago this spring, I was invited by the Home Mission Board to participate in an evangelistic crusade in island of Jamaica, along with 90 other Baptist pastors from Southern Baptist Convention. We went there and stayed about 2 weeks preaching, living in the native pastor's home. I was up in the middle of the island, up in the mountains. It took me back to my childhood. No electricity, kerosene lamps, no telephone ringing to disturb you. During the 2 weeks that I was there, the Lord blessed in a mighty way. We had over 200 professions of faith in the services I conducted. But the last service, before we came back home, there was a scene that gave me a vision, I think, of a lost world. We had over 50 people who made profession of faith in this last service. But as we closed the invitation, the people had come from everywhere. They'd filled the church and the pews and the doors, and they were standing outside. I don't know how many people might have been standing out in the dark as I preached that night. But when I closed the invitation, I said, are there others here tonight who have not been able to come forward to make your public profession of faith in Christ that would lift your hand saying, pray for me that I might be saved? And I saw sticking through the windows hands from the outside, and each door people thrusting their hand through the window saying, pray for me, I'm lost. I've never been able to get away from that vision. Since then, I've been able to preach missions with a greater compassion, because somehow or another in those hands I saw a whole lost world saying we would see Jesus. Shall we stand for prayer? Father, we thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. And help us, our Father, for us who serve in places of responsibility, in places of ministry, that we might be true to the Word of God, that we might be true to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we might model our lives after the life of Jesus. Forgive our sins and neglect. Help us to be witnesses for thee this day and every day. For we pray in Christ's name.